The next governor will likely be held accountable for the outcome of massive welfare changes in Minnesota. In January, the state began enrolling recipients in the Minnesota Family Investment Program, following on federal welfare changes. The clock began ticking for those welfare recipients, who must find work and have a lifetime benefit limit of 5 years. Recipients also face sanctions if they don't attend orientation and job counseling meetings. The state also implemented support services, like job banks and tax breaks for employers who hire MFIP recipients. Doug Johnson says he supported the welfare overhaul.
I think one of the best things that Minnesota ever did and that federal government did was to have welfare reform. I think that there are, in fact, a lot of Minnesotans and Americans that this has provided an incentive to go out and get advanced educational courses, training, and get up and go to work in the morning. I think that's very healthy for people.
So far, the state has judged the program a success. In May, the latest date for which figures are available, about one quarter of welfare recipients had found work. The monthly average of families on welfare dropped 23% over the last 4 years to 49,000. But critics and caseworkers say people who dropped off the rolls first were the best qualified to go to work and predict tougher going for remaining welfare recipients. In addition, the booming economy was a big help for job seekers. Johnson says he wants to give the changes time to play out, but as governor, he would make some improvements.
The one thing that I want to fully fund is a sliding fee child care program for working mothers. I think that's very important. I'm going to have initiatives in housing for affordable housing. And in Minnesota, there's been a non-existent transportation policy now for 8 years. And for people to come off welfare, they have to have affordable transportation as well. But the whole idea of welfare reform, I think it was the right thing to do.
Johnson says an economic downturn will make things more difficult, but that's no excuse to stop now. He says such a downturn, even when combined with his budget proposals like a spending freeze and tax cuts, wouldn't jeopardize the safety net for the state's poorest residents.
There is about $1 billion of reserve, including $350 million in a cash flow account. And I'm not touching that in any of my budget proposals. So we do have that rainy day fund available that we didn't have in past years.
Johnson estimates he would spend about $50 million over the biennium to assist welfare recipients. But he says it's premature to worry about people hitting the five-year cutoff of benefits.
I'm not ready to backtrack from that. In any way, I think that some then might use that as an excuse to not move forward and develop the education and the training skills that they need to compete and to support themselves and their families. I'd rather focus on making sure we have affordable child care and housing and transportation and not in any way weaken the welfare reform laws. I think they were long overdue. And I think they're doing a lot of good in our economy.
Everyone agrees the welfare changes occurred at a good time economically, with unemployment at an all-time low. The picture is likely to get more complicated over time. Caseworkers say some families are on an income roller coaster because counties base assistance on what they were earning 2 months ago. And private grants, like the $15 million distributed by the McKnight Foundation to create welfare reform partnerships, can leave new programs stranded when they expire. But with welfare changes in their infancy, Johnson wants to let some time pass before he'll consider reforming the reforms. In Duluth, I'm Amy Radel, Minnesota Public Radio.